This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, October 22nd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll get to all the football, but we're going to start with Game 6 of the National League Championship Series. St. Louis in San Francisco to play the Giants. Detroit Tigers waiting for in the wings after they swept the Yankees, as we talked about last week. But the Giants staying alive for another day. Giants 6, St. Louis 1, series tied at 3. Game 7 for the National League pennant and the chance to go to the World Series played tonight. We'll get to the TV later. Ryan Vogelsong, the man of the hour. Nobody would really believe on the staff with Matt Cain and Tim Lincecum and revive Barry Zito that Vogelsong would be the guy, but he was the guy yesterday. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 run earned, career high 9 strikeouts. You have to give Vogelsong a lot of credit if you know his journey. He pitched in the minors, he pitched in Japan, he pitched in winter ball. He's 35 years old, and here's his chance now. And he certainly has contributed mightily as the Giants even up the series 3-3, game 7 tonight. Now, for the Giants, I guess there was a key play in the game, you'd have to say. Pete Cosma, who's been very good for the Cardinals, came in to make what I thought was a tough play. It was first and third, one out. He came in on a ground ball. He wasn't going to get the runner at the plate, but he probably would have gotten it out. In fact, he was given an error, so certainly the official score thought he would have gotten it out. And after that happened, it opened the door for the Giants to wind up scoring 4 runs in that inning. Marco Scudero, who's been unbelievable, recovered from that Matt Holliday slide in Game 1. Interesting, Holliday couldn't play yesterday because he had stiffness in his back. Scudero with a big double to left in that second inning. Sandoval with a big RBI single. If you believe in it would have happened if he had just made the play, then obviously there would have been 3 outs before the Giants had scored 4 runs. In fact, Chris Carpenter, who was good, not great, Carpenter gave up 5 runs in 4 innings, but only 2 of them were earned. So obviously he didn't pitch great, but he gave up 5 runs. Only 2 of them were earned because of the Cosma error. Again, they would have got to 3 outs, obviously, earlier. There would have only been 1 run scored in that inning. Carpenter takes the loss. Vogelsong, 2-0, 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 run, 9 Ks. I mean, he's been unbelievable. And Carpenter, again, not his fault. He didn't pitch great, but you certainly can't blame him when 3 of the 5 runs he gave up were unearned. Vogelsong actually had a no-hitter for 4 2/3. Descalzo broke it up with a bloop single. The Cardinals have given up 10 unearned runs in this series through 6 games. It's the most unearned runs ever given up in an LCS. The Giants have now won 5 consecutive elimination games in the postseason. That's pretty unbelievable. But something has to give tonight. The Cardinals, the darlings of last year, the darlings of this year. You know, the Giants were favored, but they did get down 3-1. Now they've battled back to 3-3. But Game 7 tonight in San Francisco, Loesch, who's pitched very well for the Cardinals this year, against Matt Cain, who, of course, has tremendous stuff. Loesch this year against the Giants is 1-0. Cain against the Cardinals is 1-2. But again, they'll pull out all the stops tonight in Game 7. Now, there is a chance of rain in San Francisco, so we'll have to see if that game can actually go. But Kyle Loesch against Matt Cain for the National League pennant. It really doesn't get better than a Game 7 in baseball. you know, maybe you'll say a Game 7 in the World Series, but this is a Game 7 for the National League pennant with the winner playing the Tigers in the World Series. Now, Scudero, 2-for-3, 2 runs, 2 RBIs, hitting .458 in the season. In the series. Pablo Sandoval, 2-for-4. Now, Buster Posey has not been good. He did get his first RBI. You know, if he has a breakout game in Game 7, he could be the difference. He should be the NL MVP. It's only for the regular season. But Posey did get his first RBI of the series yesterday. Brandon Belt with a big triple, 2-for-4, 2 runs scored. The Giants coming back from 3-1 down to tie it. For the Cardinals, only 5 hits. Nobody got 2 hits in the game. Again, Vogelsong was very, very good. And then Affelt, Casilla, and Romo finished the game. No save, of course, because it was a 6-1 game. Giants 6, Cardinals 1. No home runs in the game. Again, Game 7 tonight in San Francisco. And hopefully they get to play the game. You hate to see big games like this. You know, this is the problem with late October into November baseball. But hopefully now they'll get to play the game tonight. So that's your baseball, Game 7 tonight. We're going to switch to the football now. A number of very interesting games in football, as always. But I thought the most interesting one, pair of 5-1 teams, the Ravens go into Houston to play the Texans. Now, the Ravens, we've talked about the switch from defense to offense. Ray Lewis gone for the year. Webb, the good corner, gone for the year. They did get back Terrell Suggs, who came back early and looked okay, got a sack early. I mean, not terrible, but not great. If you saw that one play that they're making fun of Matt Schaub, who was thinking about trying to block Suggs on what turned out to be Arian Foster running to the right and then coming all the way back to the left. And they kind of made fun of Schaub just getting out of the way, although he only had to stand there for a second to give Foster the room he needed. But if you watch that play just to watch Suggs, he clearly couldn't go 100% and you know, actually gave up on the play eventually. But it's, you know, from a leadership perspective, with Ray Lewis gone, it's good to see him on the field, but it certainly did not help the Ravens. Yesterday, the Texans manhandled the Ravens. Texans 43, Ravens 13, 9-3 at the quarter, 29-3 at the half. Obviously, the game was essentially, I don't want to say definitely over, but essentially over at halftime. No, the Texans are a very good team. A lot of them picking them to be a Super Bowl team this year. Schaub, 23-37 for 256 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Flacco did not have a good game at all. 21-43, 147 yards, 1 TD, 2 picks. Ray Rice couldn't generate anything. 9 rushes for 42 yards. Foster, 19 rushes for 98 yards and 2 TDs for the winners. And again, you know, Harbaugh, to his credit, you know, just said, hey, they kicked our butts, and that's exactly what they did. The Ravens are usually the ones doing the butt kicking now. The Texans move to 6-1. Baltimore drops to 5-2. But it was all Houston from pretty much beginning to end. You know, the Ravens did lead 3-0, but then 29 unanswered in the first half for the Texans. Texans 43, Ravens 13. Again, Texans sending a message to everybody, I think, that they're legit. Another interesting game, one might argue for supremacy in the, or at least certainly for a tie for first place in the NFC East. RG3, you know, has taken the league by storm. He's a smart guy. He's a great athlete. He can run it. He can throw it. He knows what's going on. But they just did give Eli Manning, the great Eli Manning, the one of the top quarterbacks, if not the top quarterback, certainly the best final two-minute guy, certainly the best fourth-quarter quarterback. I don't care what they say about Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees. This is the guy you want to have the ball in his hands very late in the game or in the fourth quarter if you're trailing. And once again, I mean, it's just stunning what he did. You know, you give RG3 a lot of credit. The Giants were up 20-13, then 20-16. And on 4th and 10, late in the game, RG3 hits Logan Paulson for a 19-yard first down. Then he goes on his own 24-yard. RG3 goes on his own 24-yard run. Then hits Santana Moss with a 30-yard touchdown pass. 23-20 Washington, very late. But then Eli hits Victor Cruz for a 77-yard touchdown very late in the game to give the Giants the lead 27-23. RG3 has, I think it was like 40 seconds to come back. He hits Santana Moss over the middle, but Moss gets hit and fumbles. Giants recover. Giants survive at home. Giants 27, Washington 23. And RG3, a very bright guy after the game. If you saw his interview, he said, there are games that you lose that you should have won. There are games that you win that you should have lost. And this was a game in his mind. This was a game that Washington should have won. Now, again, it's almost becoming an art form at the end of the game. When you're playing against an Eli Manning or a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, we'll get to the Jet game later, you just don't want to leave these guys time. And it's almost like a recipe for disaster if you do. And that's what happens now. You're losing, so you're RG3, you're losing. If you can throw a 30-yard touchdown pass to Santana Moss, you throw a 30-yard touchdown pass to Santana Moss. So it's not something, this isn't a field goal game where you're in their territory and you can run the ball all day and kill the clock. It wasn't like that. They were down 20-16, so they needed a touchdown, obviously. Washington played really well. Two picks for Manning. You know, Rob Jackson had an interception. Josh Wilson had an interception. Morris, their running back, 22 rushes for 120 yards. Washington, 3-for-3 on fourth down conversions in this game. RG3, 20-for-28, 258 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. And those numbers all sound like winning numbers, but again, they just gave Eli and the Giants too much time. Manning, 26-for-40, 337 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Bradshaw, 12 rushes for only 43 yards, one TD. Cruz, the hero, of course, 7 receptions for 131 yards and one touchdown, including the 70. That was the 77-yarder game winner. Bennett, the tight end, who's been doing great, the former Cowboy, 5-for-79, 5 catches for 79. Knicks, 5-for-53. Eli spread it around as he normally does. Hankerson, the main receiver for Washington, 6 receptions for 70 yards. And Washington had this game in their hands. But again, they gave Eli too much time. Eli capitalized. RG3 tried to come back. Down 4, so he has to score a touchdown. Again, he hits Moss over the middle for the game-ending fumble. Moss did catch it. Made a football move, got tackled, and fumbled before he hit the ground. Giants 27, Redskins 23. Had the Redskins won, they would have been tied for first with the Giants, but now the Redskins are 3-4. The Giants are 5-2. You know, it's funny because, of course, the Redskins beat the Giants twice last year without RG3. Rex Grossman was the quarterback last year. But clearly they're a better team with RG3. Clearly they could have won this game, but again, the great ones, and Eli Manning is a great one now after that second Super Bowl win last year, the great ones find a way to get the job done, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Giants 27, Redskins 23, Giants now in first place in the NFC East. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing your home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A bunch more football games to get to. An interesting game for the lead in the AFC East. Jets up in New England to play the Patriots. Jets played very well, had a lead very late, came back against the vaunted Patriots. But in the end, it was Tom Brady leading them down the field not once, but twice for long. Gostkowski field goals to win the game. Patriots 29, Jets 26. Of course, the knock on the Patriots is their secondary, and Mark Sanchez, who certainly has had his problems, threw the ball very well yesterday, 28 for 41 for 328 yards, one touchdown, one pick. The Jets went up early on the Sean Green touchdown, but then Devin McCourty returned a kickoff 104 yards to put the Patriots up seven, to tie the game at seven. Then Gronkowski catches a 17-yarder from Brady, 14-7. Then Vince Wilfork forces a, it was a bad handoff from Sanchez to Green. Wilfork was right there. That could have contributed to it. The ball goes into the end zone. Sanchez kicks it out of the end zone. Obviously a safety. 16-7 Patriots. But then the Jets come back. Nick Folk was great kicking field goals, 16-10, 16-13. But then a controversial call, but the right one. Aaron Hernandez gets a pass from Tom Brady, like on the 2-yard line. As he's going down, he fumbles. The Jets recover, but clearly on replay it showed that Hernandez's elbow was on the ground. It was a good call. And then the next play, Brady hits Gronkowski for a 2-yard touchdown, 23-13. Curley for the Jets, who had a very good game, catches a 20-yard pass from Sanchez. And then Sanchez throws a touchdown pass to Keller, cuts it to 23-20. And then late in the game, the Jets are driving. Stephen Hill drops a wide-open pass for some reason. He would have had a first down for some reason trying to run before he catches the ball. The Jets settle for a game-tying field goal at 23. Then on the kickoff, McCourty, who had earlier been the hero with a 104-yard touchdown run, he fumbles. The Jets recover deep in Patriots territory. Couldn't get a score. Sanchez was sacked on the third down play. Forces Folk to kick a 42-yarder instead of like a 29-yarder. But Folk does. But again, just like with Eli Manning, the Jets, not intentionally, I mean, they just really couldn't generate much offense there. Couldn't get a first down. The Jets leave 1:37 on the clock for Brady. And then Brady, who to me looked like he was half asleep all game, Brady hits Gronkowski for 12 yards, Gronkowski for 10 yards, Danny Woodhead for 20 yards, and then Gutzkowski comes in to kick a 43-yarder to send the game into overtime. I like the new overtime rules because it's no longer a coin toss game. The Patriots do win the coin toss. If they do score a touchdown, they win the game, but if the defense can hold them to a field goal, then the Jets will get the ball back. That's exactly what happens. Gutzkowski this time kicks a 48-yarder, which is interesting because obviously if he misses it, it would have given the Jets the ball on the 38, good field position. Then they would only need a field goal. But he does kick the 48-yarder, puts them up three. Sanchez has a chance to bring them back down. Obviously a touchdown wins, a field goal ties. Obviously if they don't score, the Patriots win. And this time Rob Ninkovich comes in, sacks Sanchez, causes him to fumble, recovers the fumble, game over. And under these new rules, this is how games can end. They can end on a sack fumble recovery by the defense, and that's exactly what happened. But certainly the Jets exposed the Patriots. Everybody knew their secondary wasn't that good, but if Mark Sanchez is going 28 for 41 for 328, well, obviously, Belichick still has a ton of work to do for the Patriots and their defense. But I'm not a Patriots fan. I have a lot of respect for what they've done. And I did write an article, hopefully you read it, that's still up at sportstalknetwork.com. I don't think your record is what it says it is this season because of the replacement refs. And the obvious game being the Green Bay-Seattle game, where Green Bay should have won. They lost, so they have one more loss than they should have. And so, too, with the Patriots on a lesser note, but there are two games where the replacement refs really hurt the Patriots. The one game where they recovered a fumble late, losing to Arizona by two. Danny Woodhead runs 30 yards into the end zone untouched. There was a holding call on Gronkowski, and that looked like a tough call. And then that Mike Pereira, who used to be the VP of officiating for the NFL, who now does these rules analysis for Fox, he was on the Mike Francesa show on WFAN New York, and he said there's no way that should have been called. It was not a holding penalty. It was the sign of an inexperienced ref. And obviously, you don't know what would have happened in the last 40 or 50 seconds, but that's all that would have been left, and the Patriots would have been up five. So maybe up six if they went for two. So that game, I thought they should have won. Again, not a Patriots fan, but they should have won. And then that mystery field goal that the Ravens beat them on the last play of the game. The kid was petrified, the field goal kicker, 27-yard field goal. He's right-footed, off his foot, it veered hard to the right, but the ruling was it went over the goalpost, and if it goes over the goalpost, you can't review it. But it was going so violently right that if the goalpost was high enough or if the kick was a little lower, it seemed pretty clear that it either would have grazed the right side of the right post as the kicker is facing the goalpost, or would have missed right altogether. That was a make it we win, don't make it we lose game as well. So I don't think this year, at least for those replacement ref games, I don't think your record, you know, you're not what your record says you are. Just my opinion. Having said that, the Jets played really well, gave the Patriots all they could handle. No moral victories for Rex Ryan, but certainly they played last week tough. They played this week tough. And maybe they have enough at 3-4. Again, the Patriots leading the division are 4-3. So it's not like anyone's running away with this division. Maybe it'll be enough for the Jets to make a run. I don't think they can beat the Patriots for the division, but maybe a run at a wild card spot. Yesterday, in addition to the to Sanchez, Green, 16 rushes for 54 yards and a touchdown. Curley had a big game, 7 receptions for 120 yards. Justin Keller, the tight end, finally back and healthy, 7 for 93, and that touchdown. Brady, 26 for 42 for 259 and 2 touchdowns, and I watched this whole game because, unfortunately, my son is a Patriots fan. But, you know, you kept watching the game saying, you know, the Patriots really aren't playing well. They're fortunate to be ahead. They're fortunate to be ahead. They're fortunate to be ahead. And then you wake up, these are the kinds of games the Patriots win. I don't really think they played that well. You look at Brady's numbers, 26 for 42 for 259, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Those are pretty good numbers, but didn't seem like Tom Brady to me. Ridley, 17 rushes for 65 yards. Vereen, who is also a free agent signing, who's getting better, 8 rushes for 49 yards. Gronkowski, 6 receptions for 78 yards and 2 TDs. Welker, 6 for 66. Hernandez, 5 for 54. Woodhead, 4 for 29. As you know, Tom Brady, one of the best ever at spreading it around. So the Patriots go to 4-3. They take the lead in the AFC East. The Jets drop to 3-4, obviously not out of it. The Jets did play very well. Again, Rex Ryan says no moral victories, but the Jets showed that they could play certainly with the Patriots. And keep in mind, that was up in Foxborough. They almost pulled off the big upset up in Foxborough. Few other games, Steelers-Bengals, always a tough matchup. Steelers get the win. I mean, I guess the bottom line is they have Ben Roethlisberger and the Bengals don't. Not that Dalton isn't good. But Big Ben always seems to find a way. Steelers 24, Bengals 17, 17-17 going into the fourth. Roethlisberger, the guy who leads them down the field, for a Chris Rainey touchdown run to give them the lead, 24-17, the only scoring in the fourth quarter. Roethlisberger, 27 for 37, 278 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Dalton, who hit A.J. Green for an 8-yard TD, 14 for 28 only for 105 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Again, no Polamalu for the Steelers, but they're playing, obviously, good defense. Steelers now 3-3, Bengals 3-4. Dwyer for Pittsburgh, 17 rushes for 122 yards. Benjarvis Green-Ellis, 18 for 69 for Cincinnati. Wallace with 8 receptions for 52 yards for the Steelers. Steelers 24, Bengals 17. Now, I picked both of them to make the playoffs. I don't know if the Bengals are 3-4. You know, can turn that around or not. But the Bengals are a good team. The Steelers are a better team. And again, I think the difference is Big Ben Roethlisberger. Bunch of other games to get to. Cardinals against the Vikings. I did like the Vikings, -6. They had a 21-7 lead into the fourth quarter. They gave up another touchdown, but they still won. Vikings 21, Cardinals 14. You know, the Vikings are very, very tough at home. They're a little shaky on the road, but they are much better than anyone thought they would be. Adrian Peterson, what can you say? That's one of the reasons, obviously, why they're so good. Peterson, 23 rushes for 153 yards and a touchdown. And it was good that he was good because Ponder was not very good at all. 8 for 17, 58 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Again, a tribute to Peterson and the Vikings defense that they won this game. Ponder actually only had one completion in the second half for all of 4 yards, but it was a touchdown to Percy Harvin. But really, the Vikings did it with smoke and mirrors and good defense yesterday. Minnesota 21, Arizona 14. Now, Skelton got the start. You know, both of them keep getting injured. Cobb out this week with the rib injury. Skelton 25 for 36, 262 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Steven Tallon, the running back, 20 rushes for 104 yards and a touchdown. Give him credit. But the Vikings get the job done. The Vikings, again, are very tough at home. I certainly didn't think they could make the playoffs, but they certainly have a chance now. Receiving Harvin, 4 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown. No other receiver had more than 8 yards. What does that tell you? For Arizona, Roberts, 7 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald doubled the whole game, 4 receptions for 29. But Minnesota gets the win. Minnesota 21, the Cardinals 14. You know, the Cardinals started out 4-0. Now they've come back to reality. They're 4-3. The Vikings, with that victory, move up to 5-2. Vikings beat the Cardinals in Minnesota 21-14. A few other games to get to quickly now. The Cowboys in Carolina to beat the Panthers. You know, a lot of people think Cam Newton has regressed. And he really seems to, you know, his press conferences after the game are weird. Dallas, obviously, probably the most up-and-down talented team in football for the last, what, 5, 7, 9 years. Cowboys get the win yesterday, down 7-3 at the half in Carolina on the road. They come back and win. Cowboys 19, Panthers 14, Tony Romo 24 for 34, 227 yards, and a touchdown. He hits Miles Austin with a 26-yard touchdown pass in the third quarter. Bailey, the field goal kicker, 4 for 4. He was the difference. Cowboys 19, Panthers 14. Cam Newton, 21 for 37, 233. One touchdown, one interception for the Panthers. But the Cowboys get the win, 19-14, and the Panthers, with only one win this year, really are having their problems, frankly. And again, you had that same press conference with Cam Newton after the game. You know, we have to find a way. We have to do it. We're close, but we're not there. We can't get over the hump. Sounded very almost morose. I mean, it was very bizarre, but that's how it is sometimes. But the Carolina Panthers are going to be hard-pressed. They're not going to improve on winning 6 games last year. Green Bay and St. Louis to play the Rams. I think they've been rejuvenated again. Part of that article I wrote, clearly Green Bay should have one more win and Seattle should have one more loss based on that final call in the Green Bay-Seattle game that turned a Green Bay victory into a Seattle victory. But since then, the Packers are rolling now. They're 4-3. I think they should be 5-2, obviously. But yesterday, Aaron Rodgers leads the Packers to a 30-20 victory over the Rams. Rodgers 30 for 37, the highest, I think it's like 81%, the highest completion percentage rate in the game for a Green Bay Packer quarterback ever. 30 for 37 for 342 yards, 3 TDs, no picks. Jordy Nelson with a TD catch, Randall Cobb with 2 TD catches, including one of 39 yards. Green Bay just too tough for the Rams. Green Bay 30, Rams 20. Bradford 21 for 34 for 255, 1 TD, 1 pick. Really no rushing game to speak of. Jordy Nelson, 8 catches for 122 yards and a touchdown for the Packers. And Gibson with 5 catches for 60 yards for St. Louis. Packers move to 4-3. Rams drop to 3-4. Rams now have to go out to London. Yeah, they're going to London to play, of all teams, the Patriots. Not really. London's a long way to go to play the Patriots. But again, the Patriots, you know, the Jets gave them all they could handle. I picked the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl and lose to the 49ers, but so far the Patriots have just been okay, although as I wrote, they could easily be 6-1 and not 4-3. Packers 30, Rams 20. We'll get to the rest of the football and then some other things after the break. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. A few more games, football games to get to, and then we'll get to a few other things. Yesterday, an interesting game, especially if you saw the end of it. Saints against the Buccaneers. Saints getting off to that 0-4 start. They got Jonathan Vilma back to play yesterday. They got their new coach after the game, Joe Vitt, who's the latest interim coach. He was only suspended for 6 games. Of course, Peyton was suspended for the whole season. But the Saints eke out a win, and I really mean eke out a win, over Tampa Bay. Saints 35, Tampa Bay 28. And it was interesting, if you saw the very end of this game, the Saints actually go up 35-21. The Bucs come back and score a touchdown and get the ball back very late in the game, and they drive the ball down the field, and they take 4 shots in the end zone the last 4 plays of the game. And the final play, Josh Freeman looks like he hit Mike Williams for the tying touchdown in the back of the end zone, but Williams had been forced out of bounds on the left side earlier in the game, forced out of bounds earlier in the play. He was out on the left. You could see him step out. He then rolled around to the back of the end zone and made a great catch for what looked like the tying touchdown. Of course, 35-34 plus the extra point. But the call was made that Williams had been out of bounds, and as you probably know, you can't go out of bounds, come back and catch the ball or be the first guy to touch it, I think the rule is. So the game ends on that play. Saints 35, Bucks 28. Again, Joe Vitt becomes the coach after that game and will be the coach for the rest of the year. Can the Saints come back? 0-4, now 2-4. Remains to be seen. But Drew Brees is Drew Brees, 27 for 37, 377 yards, 4 TDs, one interception. The Bucks, Josh Freeman, 24 for 42, 420 yards, 3 TDs, no interception. Martin for Tampa Bay, 16 rushes for 85 yards and a touchdown. Moore for New Orleans, 9 receptions for 121 yards, and Jackson was unbelievable for Tampa, 7 receptions for 216 yards. That's 31 yards a catch and a TD, but it wasn't enough. Saints 35, Bucks 28. Again, the game ends on what looked like a touchdown pass. That wasn't, because Mike Williams had been forced out of bounds. Incidentally, in that game, Vincent Jackson, as we said, 7 for 216 yards, actually had a 94-yard catch that did not result in the touchdown. And then they tried to pound it in 4 times, and they couldn't get in. That was a key part of the game to keep the lead 28-21 for New Orleans. LeGarrette Blount ran 3 times into the line for no gain. Freeman, on 4th and goal, tried to run out to the outside, neither pass or run it in, couldn't do either. That, I thought, was the turning point of the game. Again, the Bucs had 4 shots at the end zone to tie and couldn't get the job done. The Titans played the Bills. That was a wild game in Buffalo. First time in 6 weeks that Buffalo is playing at home. Unfortunately for them, Tennessee comes back very late, and Matt Hasselbeck, who's still doing it, throws 4th and 9 from the 15, hits Nate Washington with a touchdown pass that proved to be the winner. Tennessee 35, Buffalo 34. Hasselbeck, what can you say, still doing it, 22 for 33, 205 and a touchdown, including the game winner. Fitzpatrick, who's had an up-and-down year, 27 for 35, 225, 3 TDs, and 1 interception. That interception by Jason McCourty late in the game. So give Tennessee credit. They go on the road. They go to Buffalo. They beat the Bills, Tennessee 35, Buffalo 34. Both teams now at 3-4. The Colts at 500 beat the Browns in Indianapolis. Colts 17, Browns 13. Colts always had the lead in this game, 7-0, 14-6 at half. 17-13 after 3, no score in the 4th. Whedon, 25 for 41, 264 yards and 2 TDs. Luck, 16 for 29, 186. Not a good game, but he gets the win, and that's what you're looking for, of course, in the NFL. Ballard, Indianapolis, 20 rushes for 84 yards. Browns couldn't register a running game. Receptions, Little for Cleveland, 6 for 52 yards and a touchdown. Wayne, 6 for 73. For the Colts, Colts 17, Browns 13, and the final game, of course, Lions and Bears tonight. We'll get to the timing of that later. That's a big one in Soldier Field in Chicago. The final game yesterday, Raiders 26, Jaguars 23. Raiders moved to 2-4. Jaguars dropped to 1-5. Overtime field goal wins the game. Chad Henne for Jacksonville, 9-20 for 71 yards. That's passing. Carson Palmer, 26-46, 298 yards and a touchdown. No running game to speak of. McFadden, 19 rushes for 53 yards. Jennings for Jacksonville, 7 catches for 58 yards, 21 rushes for 44 yards and a touchdown. Myers for Oakland, 7 rushes for 44 yards. Raiders, 26. Jaguars, 23. That's your NFL for the week. But again, the story to me, can the Saints come back now 0-4 to 2-4? They got Wilma back yesterday. There's apparently going to be another hearing in his case October 30th. They get Joe Vitt there now, second interim head coach, because Peyton won't be back for the whole season this year. Will that be enough to help him come back? The Jets played the Patriots tough. That's a headline. The Giants stole that game from the Redskins. That's a headline. I think the biggest headline is still the Texans manhandle the Ravens, and you don't usually see that. But again, no Webb, no Lewis. Suggs was there, but obviously not 100% yet. So I think the Ravens, I understand they're becoming more of an offensive team, but they're going to need more defense, frankly, to win the win their division and make some noise in the playoffs. A few other non-football, non-baseball things. WNBA finals yesterday. Minnesota at Indiana. Indiana up 2-1. They win the WNBA championship by beating Minnesota. Indiana Fever 87. Minnesota Lynx 78. Tamika Catchings, who I think is in her 11th year in the WNBA now, finally gets her championship. She's named the MVP, and yesterday in Game 4, she has 25 points and 8 assists. Indiana got up 9 early, up 5 at the half, and really never looked back. Indiana beats Minnesota by 9. Of course, Minnesota was the defending WNBA champions, but Indiana had players like Catchings and Katie Douglas, who had played more postseason games without a championship than anybody in WNBA history. I think Douglas had played 55. Tamika Catchings had played 46. That's a lot of playoff games, especially when you're going best of three into best of five. But the Indiana Fever win it all. Tamika Catchings gets her first WNBA championship and is named the MVP. Lance Armstrong, and you know it was like the jaws of death around Lance Armstrong for the last few months. He was officially stripped of all 7 of his Tour de France titles and banned for life from the sport of cycling. Armstrong won from 1999 to 2005, 7 years in a row, Tour de France's, but no longer. And again, this is one of the great falls from grace in the history of America, in the history of the world, not even just in the history of sports. Armstrong, you know, there was like a 200-page report released. 10 or 12 of his co-team riders have essentially said that, yeah, he used EPO, he used things he shouldn't have used. He resigned from Livestrong, and look, he's done a lot of good work through Livestrong. But he now says he doesn't want to get in the way, so he's resigned from Livestrong as the chairman down there in Austin, Texas. But he's, you know, this is an incredible fall from grace. He no longer can fight these battles and win. So Lance Armstrong stripped of all 7 of his Tour de France titles. A few other things. NASCAR, Matt Kenseth won the race this week, but as you know, it's all about the chase now. There are 4 races left in the chase, and right now Brad Keselowski is 7 points ahead of Jimmy Johnson in the bigger chase. You know, it's race to race, but the chase is based on 12 guys based on the final 10 races. Again, there are 4 races left, so Matt Kenseth wins NASCAR yesterday, but Brad Keselowski remains in the lead by 7 points over Jimmy Johnson. Want to spend a few minutes on college football. Now, Alabama, look, Alabama has been pretty much since the beginning just the best team in college football. There are some people who think that they're not running up the score because Saban wants them to play in close games. I can't believe that's true, but maybe it is. But in any event, Alabama undefeated, the new top five, Alabama, Florida, K-State, Oregon, Notre Dame, which remained undefeated. LSU is number six. Notre Dame has really been, you know, they're Notre Dame, and nobody thought they would be this good, but I watched them early. They are very athletic, much more athletic than they've been in the past. Saturday they beat Brigham Young, a tough game, as it turns out, at home. They only beat them 17-14, but they did beat them. They remain undefeated at 7-0. They are number five in the country. A lot of people thought South Carolina could go into Florida and beat Florida, but Florida slaughtered South Carolina and Steve Spurrier, Florida 44, South Carolina 11. That probably led their rise up to from number three to number two. A few other important top 25 games. You know, Rutgers, and they're not national champion caliber, don't get me wrong, but Rutgers moved to 7-0 with a 35-10 win over Temple. They're now ranked 19, moved up to 15. Oregon beats Arizona State. That was before the weekend, but that was a big win. Again, depending on the poll, Oregon now 4 in the BCS, but they beat Arizona State 43-21. LSU came back to beat Texas A&M on the road 24-19, LSU presently number 6. Ohio State looked like they were going to lose, but they remain undefeated at 8-0. They beat Purdue 29-22. Purdue led virtually the whole game. Ohio State tied it up on the last play and won it in overtime. I think the biggest game coming up this week is Notre Dame goes on the road at Oklahoma. This is really where you'll find out how good Notre Dame is. Oklahoma hammered Kansas 52-7, but that's going to be a very tough game for Notre Dame. Another amazing K-State, who's now up in the top five, number three. Snyder's done an incredible job there. K-State hammers West Virginia in West Virginia 55-14. Geno Smith 21 for 32 for 143 yards and a touchdown. His Heisman numbers are going, you know, his Heisman hopes are going up in smoke. Not only do they get hammered, but he does not have a very good game at all. So, give Snyder credit. I don't know how he does it there at Kansas State. It's kind of a death program unless he's coaching it. You know, this is the second time around. But Kansas State moves to number three in the rankings and 7-0 for the season. The big game coming up this weekend in college football is probably going to be Florida, number two, on the road at Georgia, number 11. And, of course, as we said, Notre Dame on the road at Oklahoma. Some people think Mississippi State can play with Alabama. I just don't think so. I think Alabama is the best team in the country. And, you know, again, that doesn't mean they can't make it close. But I think Saban has this team ahead of everybody. I mean, he's just a great coach. I want to switch now to the TV for tonight. And, again, you know, the game of the year in the National League. Game 7 for the National League pennant. Cardinals in San Francisco to play the Giants. That's 8:07 Eastern, of course, 5:07 on the coast. I mean, these guys both had great regular seasons. Loesch 18-3, 2.86 ERA. Kane 17-7, 2.79 ERA. In their last three outings, Loesch has pitched 18 innings and given up only 4 earned runs. And his team is 2-0. Kane, 17 innings in his last three outings. He's given up 9 earned runs, and again, he's 1-2 against the Cardinals this year. So the matchup kind of points the Cardinals' way, but they are playing in San Francisco. Matt Kane is Matt Kane, one of the best pitchers in baseball. I kind of like the Cardinals because, frankly, they've just been miracle workers, not just this year, but last year as well. You really wrote them off, or certainly I wrote them off this year, saying, you know, I thought it would take a virtual miracle for them to make the playoffs, and that's essentially what happened. But no Pujols, no Tony La Russa, no Dave Duncan, and despite that, now Beltran's been great. They've had some good pickups. They got some good pitching. Carpenter came back. Wainwright pitched this year, and he didn't pitch last year. But the Cardinals and the Giants in San Francisco, 8:07 Eastern, 5:07 on the West Coast. That game is on Fox throughout the country, ESPN radio throughout the country. To me, that's the big game of the year. Now, if you're not a baseball guy and you like football, Monday night game, ESPN, 8:30 across the country, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 on the West Coast. The Lions go to play the Bears. Now, the Bears might have the best defense in the NFL, but this is a big game for both teams. The Bears, 4-1, would like to keep some separation. The Vikings are 5-2. The Lions are 2-3, obviously a huge must-win for the Lions if they go to 2-4 in that division with the Bears and the Vikings and the Packers. I know it would still be early, but it would be very difficult for the Lions to overcome that. But the Lions in Chicago to play the Bears, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN TV across the country. And again, the Cardinals at the Giants, 8:07 Eastern on Fox. We'll just quickly give you the NFL standings now. After week 7, Patriots 4-3, Dolphins 3-3, Jets and Buffalo 3-4. Of course, they were all 3-3 last week. Obviously, the Dolphins had a bye. I think the Patriots are going to win the AFC East, but again, not as convincingly as they've seemed. I thought they did get robbed early by those officials, but the Jets could have won this game yesterday. Stephen Hill with that big drop late. They really had a chance to beat the Patriots in Foxborough. The AFC North, the Ravens, despite that shellacking from the Texans, 5-2, they lead. Steelers move to 3-3. The Bengals 3-4. Cleveland 1-6. Cleveland in the wrong division. AFC South, Houston with that big win over Baltimore, 6-1. They've got a commanding 2.5-game lead in the AFC South. Indianapolis 3-3. Again, it looked like Houston would roll through this AFC South, and that's what they're doing. They're 6-1. The Colts are 3-3. Tennessee 3-4, and Jacksonville 1-5. Denver out west, 3-3. I picked them to win that division almost by default, plus Manning. San Diego, after that terrible loss to Denver, 3-3. Oakland, 2-4. Kansas City, 1-5. The NFC East, the Giants with a little separation at 5-2. Philly and Dallas, 3-3. The Redskins at 3-4. NFC North tonight, the Bears against the Lions. The Bears, 4-1. The Vikings, 5-2. The Packers, 4-3. And the Lions, 2-3. The Falcons, the only undefeated team left in football, NFC South, they're 6-0. They have a massive lead already over the Saints, who are 2-4, and Tampa Bay, who is 2-4, and Carolina, who is 1-5. And out west, the 49ers have reclaimed their, I think they should win this West, NFC West. Obviously, I picked them to win the Super Bowl, but they're 5-2, and now Arizona, 4-0, now 4-3, Seattle, 4-3. The St. Louis Rams at 3-4 and going to London to play the New England Patriots. A tough place anywhere in the world when you go have to play the Patriots offense. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.